Power and authority are not easy topics to talk about. We tend to come to those concepts and we tend to bristle at the idea that someone would have the right to speak into our lives. Or perhaps we're in those positions of authority and so we really revel in the opportunity to have control over situations. We desire control in each aspect of our lives very often, and we tend to seek out those positions of power and authority. We tend to respect them simply because of the nature of the position itself. Our natural response when we're underneath authority, though, is to kick against the goads, to buck off whatever a semblance of authority there may be in our lives. Many of us have a good reason for doing so. We carry or have carried the burden of those who abuse their positions. We see the mistakes of human leadership and we question whether we ought to give that kind of authority to any human. Human leadership will fail us over and over again because they're human people in a fallen world. Many more of us find ourselves in those positions of authority, and so we see this juxtaposition, people abusing their authority, and yet God calling us to submit to authority in our lives. How do we balance power when it's used improperly, when it's a tool that God created for good? How do we respect that? God doesn't gloss over the danger or turn a blind eye to abuse. Instead, he warns us about that abuse of power, and then he demonstrates and redeems a better path forward, the way he intended authority to be used in the first place. So tonight we're going to look at specifically what Proverbs has to say about power and authority. There's much more in Scripture where God has much to say about this topic, but in particular we're looking at what Proverbs has to say. And we're going to break it down into two basic categories. There's the abusive use of power, and there's a respectable use of power. A use of power and authority that actually deserves and commands our respect. It's what we ought to do with any authority that we have in our lives. So, first of all, abusive power blurs the boundaries. Abusive power prefers position over people. This really comes down to the motivation. Abusive power ultimately corrupts culture. But what happens on the flip side? Respectable power seeks truth. Respectable power stands for righteousness. And respectable power builds up the culture. Starting with point one, abusive power blurs the boundaries. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law." People with power must give clear direction regarding expectations. This is not just something that's nice to have or something that will lead to better communication. We see that prophetic vision, casting a vision, giving direction and clarity in a way that brings truth into people's lives. If that's not there, then there's confusion. People cast off their restraint. They cast off the authority that's in their lives. But blessed is he who keeps the law. The law here is the law referred to throughout Scripture. This is Scripture itself. This is the truth of God clearly defined in his word. When people in authority refuse to define the boundaries in life, they withhold the truth. They shackle their followers with uncertainty, but Christ told us that the truth sets people free. Blessed is he who keeps the law. The law refers to clear truth from God found in Scripture, and this is why we at Hampton Park talk so much about life by the book, because that sets clear boundaries, that defines the issues that we face in life. As we live our lives, there are many areas where we have authority or where we are under authority. And that authority and the boundaries of it and what expectations are ought to be defined by the Word of God. When we live our lives keeping the law, that's when we find ourselves using authority and power correctly. As an example, have you ever had a boss or client who keeps changing the game on you? Someone who you come to a project and you work to the specifications that you received, but then you get to the completion and you find out that the goals have changed, the scope has changed, and you no longer delivered what was expected of you. When we fail to define expectations, or when we choose abusively to take our power and say, well, no, that's not what I meant, you should have known that this is the context. When we continually move the boundaries around, this manipulates the people underneath us in our authority, and it undermines any ability for them to see the truth, what is actually expected, what is right and wrong. We have a saying in our family, which I tried to look up the origin of it, and it turns out that it's just something that people say. But it's very helpful. Unrealistic expectations are premeditated bitterness, or unrealistic expectations are premeditated resentments. When I bring unrealistic expectations to a problem, what I find is people can't meet those expectations, but I had them of them. Now imagine you take that into a position of power, where you are someone's supervisor, and you have these expectations, you say expectations, but then you've been thinking about it further, you've been working on this project in your own regards, and you decide that it actually needs to have a different look, a different feel, it needs to have a different scope. If you fail to communicate those changes to the people under your authority, you do them an injustice because you hide the truth of what the circumstances are that they are working under. When we expand those unrealistic expectations from an interpersonal relationship level to organizational or societal levels, the results are confusion and division. Respectable leaders communicate their expectations clearly and consistently. Missing a quote there, but Najwa Zibian is a Lebanese-Canadian poet who has written extensively about abusive use of power. She attributes all abusive use of power to narcissism, where eventually it's just about you as the person who holds the power rather than the people who are being served. And she writes, if you point out how they've mistreated you, they'll tell you that you pushed them to act that way. If you point out that they've hurt you, they'll tell you that you're too sensitive. If you point out their lies, they'll shift the focus from their insincerity to say that they don't appreciate your attitude. And that's what happens with narcissists. You can never win. If you happen to be under someone who uses their power in this way, or whether that's at work or in your family life, recognize that it is an illegitimate use of authority. Seek clarity and truth to defend against that manipulation. You can be the person who undermines that abuse by seeking truth and clearly defining things. This leads us to the driving motivation of those who abuse their power. Abusive power prefers position to people. Proverbs 28:15-16 says, like a roaring lion or a charging bear is a wicked ruler over a poor people. A ruler who lacks understanding is a cruel oppressor, but he who hates unjust gain will prolong his days. Here we see a sharp contrast between an abusive leader and those under his authority, a dangerous, untamed ruler versus the oppressed. Abusive leaders are not concerned with what is right, with justice. They're not concerned with doing good for the people under their authority. All they care about is unjust gain. All they care about is what can they get out of this position. Can they get more power? Can they get more wealth? Can they get more in general? This is so different from the example that we have in Jesus Christ, who, being in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, to be grabbed, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That is authority that is worthy of respect. That is the power that causes every knee to bow in heaven and on earth and every tongue to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What is it? That he gave up his rightful position and status so that we might become daughters and sons. That is respectable power. That flies in the face of abuse that prefers position to people. Abusive power ultimately corrupts the culture. Authority, whether it is respectable or abusive, has lasting effects on the people around you. Proverbs 29:4-12 say, "By justice a king builds up the land, but he who exacts gifts tears it down. If a ruler listens to falsehood, all his officials will be wicked." Rulers who set themselves as the center of attention will tear their people down. Think about Nebuchadnezzar, who had a dream about an image that God promised to destroy, and yet he decides to build a very similar image of himself and have people worship it. Ultimately, after being called into check multiple times, God strikes him with animalistic madness for declaring that Babylon and all of its greatness is because of him. He doesn't give credit to God, and he claims that it's all for his glory. In his November 16th devotional from Proverbs, Keller says, "If corruption comes from the bottom of society, those in power might with difficulty root it out. But if it comes from the top, it becomes endemic and impossible to change." Look at verse 12 again. "If a ruler listens to falsehood, all his officials will be wicked." Abusive leaders make themselves the top priority and often cut off anyone who contradicts their perspective, detracts from their attention, or doesn't fit the agenda. And eventually, no one remains who gives sound advice. No one remains who can actually speak an honest word into the situation. When that happens, all the people will suffer the consequences. The corruption of culture comes from private sins too. Proverbs 31:3-5 says, "Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more." Leaders must guard themselves against private sins because the fallout will affect the people they lead and the people around them. You can't hide your sin, protect your reputation, and still lead for the good of the people under you. You can't use your power to cover your sin and still be acting in favor of the people who are listening to you, the people who are obeying you and following your orders. Moses is a great example of this. Moses lost the respect of the Israelites when he murdered the Egyptian. He looked to the left and the right. He didn't see anyone there. But the very next day, he tries to bring justice to bear in a situation between some Israelites, and they question whether he is going to act in a similar manner towards them. His private sins immediately affect his ability to use his authority in any way. Similarly, think about David's sin with Bathsheba. Here's a man after God's own heart. David has sinned, and so he uses his authority over the entire kingdom and over the army to direct an entire battle. Why? So that he can remove a witness. So that he can make sure that Bathsheba's husband is killed. He takes his authority because of his private sin, and he automatically has to use his authority to cover it further. In Isaiah 9:16, we see the fact that nations are judged for their leaders. Ultimately, how you lead affects all of the people underneath you. Isaiah 9:16, God is using Assyria to judge Israel based on their leadership. For those who guide this people have been leading them astray, and those who are guided by them are swallowed up. So, in what areas do you hold a position of authority, official or otherwise, that is over other people? Can you think of any? Are you a teacher? Are you making disciples? Are you a parent? Are you someone who's respected in your community? Are you an employer, a business owner? People look to you and your authority in certain areas. How are you using that authority? Are you using it to seek truth? Are you using it to do good to the people under your authority? Or are you abusing it? Is your attention on the good of those you lead, or are you more concerned with how they make you look? This is an important thing for me as a parent. When my children are acting out in a grocery store or somewhere in public, is my first response simply to make myself look good so that people see, well, that parent has his act together? Or is it actually the end goal of righteous growth in my children? Are you using the power that has been given to you by God to clarify truth or to hide your mistakes? In light of these truths, remember that humanity is what leadership is made of in our daily lives. People in positions of power will fail us, and we will fail them. God warns us against people who abuse authority, but he doesn't want us to dismiss all of it either. God has a beautiful plan for authority. So let's look at that now. The respectable use of power seeks truth. Proverbs 25:2-3 says, "It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out." Proverbs 16:10-11 says, "An oracle is on the lips of a king." I'm reminded of how in the New Testament it says, "If any speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God." An oracle is on the lips of a king. His mouth does not sin in judgment. A just weight, balance, and scales are the Lord's, and all the weights in the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to do evil. For the throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips, truth, are the delight of a king, and he loves him who speaks what is right. Pastor Conley taught us some of these proverbs a couple weeks ago when he was talking about the use of power and leadership for good. And he already covered this significantly, but it's important for us to remember that this undermines the abusive use of power. When people are abusing their authority and their power over you, they're often doing it through hiding the truth. Good leadership doesn't do that. Good leadership seeks out the truth even when it's really hard to find. Even when it's really hard to see what's right and what's wrong in this situation. Seeking out the truth no matter what. This isn't something that we should reserve for those who are in power. You may say, well, this doesn't apply to me. But for each of us, we are called to pursue truth every day and meditate on it regularly. If the expectations of your authorities are not defined, be the person who brings clarity to the situation, to your context. Respectable power stands for righteousness. First of all, good leaders enforce justice. They seek justice for the people under their care, whether they're doing right or doing wrong. Proverbs 24, 21 and 22 says, "My son, fear the Lord and the king, and do not join with those who do otherwise, for disaster will arise from them, and who knows the ruin that will come from them both, from both the king and from God simultaneously." You cannot break the law and get away with it when there is a just ruler, when there is a leader who is using their power rightly. You cannot break the rules and get away with it. God repeatedly reminds us that He ultimately will set the score straight. He reminds His people that He will not leave the guilty unpunished. How many times in our recent study of the Minor Prophets did we see where God is calling out His people for their sin of the poor, of refugees, of the widows, of the elderly, of anyone who is vulnerable? How you treat people matters, and it will be judged, hopefully, in this life, by good leaders. The beginning of Romans 13 is often used to teach submission to government's directives, and we should notice Paul's argument for submission is rooted in that government's approving of what is good and avenging injustice. He does not bear the sword in vain. God has placed His authority into the authorities that are in the world around us. We see here that respectable power has authority grounded in God's authority. Righteous judgment comes simultaneously from the righteous leader and from the Lord. Proverbs 29:26 says, "Many seek the face of a ruler, but it is from the Lord that a man gets justice." This proverb reminds us that all power is derived from God, and He defines whether it has been used rightly. God calls His people to hold their leaders accountable in terms of truth and justice. As members of a local church, you and I are responsible for checking the teaching we receive against Scripture, rather than our preferences. We see this throughout the book of Galatians, where Paul says to them, "How did you so quickly turn away from the truth that you first received? You ought to be checking this against the truth of Scripture. Cast out false teachers. Hold them accountable for the truth that they deliver to you, or mistruth." At the same time, God calls His people to submit to the leadership of the local church when they hold fast to the Word of God. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority." Why? Because they keep watch over you as those who must give account. Do this so that their work may be a joy, not a burden. For that would be of no benefit to you. And again, this is drawing to the concept of good leadership, good authority, is for the benefit of the people underneath it. At the same time, we see that ultimately, leaders who fail to follow good leadership principles, who fail to live respectable lives and to live lives that where they use their power in a respectable, Christ-honoring way, will ultimately give an account. They're not going to get to abuse things and not be judged. Christ will set all things straight. Kids, your parents don't always get it right. We don't always use our authority for your benefit. But God tells you through His Word to obey your parents as the primary authority in your life and trust that He can work through broken people. He will hold us accountable for how we use the power that He gave us. The respectable use of power ultimately builds up the culture. Proverbs 29:4, if we return, says, by justice a king builds up the land. That pursuit of the good of the people builds up the land, but he who exacts gifts, who demands bribes and favors, tears it down. Respectable leaders follow Christ and use their authority to develop others. They work to restore broken relationships. They equip people to better use their talents and gifts. They seek justice. They love mercy. They walk humbly with God, who holds the ultimate authority. And in doing so, they demonstrate what God intended all along. They point us to Jesus' example. A respectable leader can honestly say with Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. So, abusive power blurs the boundaries. It prefers position over people, and it ultimately corrupts culture. It corrupts the people all around us. But God redeems that. He shows us a path to take that abusive power and undermine it, the abuse, and instead provide the proper use of authority. Respectable power seeks the truth. It's for righteousness. And it builds up the culture. Sin takes God's good creation and abuses it. Sinful people will always be tempted either to buck the authority structures God created or twist them into their own self-service. In Jesus, we see what it looks like to use authority for the good of others, worthy of respect and submission. He is the one who gives truth like light in the darkness, exercises justice for all sin, and has graciously provided healing and reconciliation to all those who believe in him. Let's pray. Father, you created the world, and when you did so, you said that Adam and Eve should take dominion over it. You gave them authority over creation. And we see that throughout our lives. Yet, as with so much of your creation, we choose to use it in ways that you did not intend. We abuse it, and we use it for our own self-interest, and we ask that you would forgive us for that, that you would cleanse us from that unrighteousness, and that you would cause us to repent. And when we are under abusive authority, we ask that you would give us the grace to obey you, no matter what, and to trust in your justice and your sovereignty to set all things right when you come again. Jesus, we thank you that the ultimate judge, the ultimate example of true servant leadership, and we rejoice in that, and we ask that you would change us by it. We ask these things in the name of Christ. Amen.